Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. And this is, or podcast, I should say, this is Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I am here with you with an amazing guest today. I'm so excited to be able to have this gentleman back on. We met a few years ago. We spoke at the same event and had a great time. I knew immediately that we would connect because he is also a brain geek. Love that. I want to always encourage, before I get into interviewing him, I want to always encourage everyone to stay on till the end of the program, because that's when I'm going to give you the critical information on how to get in touch with my guest today. And trust me, he is someone that you're going to want to follow. He's somebody, one whose book you're going to want to read, someone that you're going to want to stay connected with. So let me read you a little bit about my guest today. His name is Stephen Campbell, and he is a professor, speaker, author, father, and husband, married for over 47 years. Good for him. Wow. Mm-hmm. Who has been teaching the Tame Your Mind for colleges, universities, businesses, and audiences for over 30 years. All of this began when he got laid off during the Great Recession of 2008. He wrote his book, Making Your Mind Magnificent, and it reveals how his feelings did not come from losing his job. They came from what he said to himself. What I always tell people, be careful what you're saying in your mind, because your brain is listening and it will absolutely respond. And he has that same feeling. So learning how to replace what he was saying to himself with positive messages, he learned how to and had the power to create the life that he wanted. Since then, he's created a business and life that he loves and allows him plenty of time with his family. He's able to speak and share his message with over 32,000 people. He has become a regular speaker on the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco. He hosts his own radio program every Wednesday right after this one. So you're just going to have to jump from Brain Lady Speaks onto his. And he did all this because he trained his brain. All right. So let me please everyone welcome to the show, Stephen Campbell. Stephen, thank you for being with me today.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to hear you again. It's been a while, and so many things have happened that whoever could have predicted what's going on today.
No kidding. Yeah. It kind of makes the Great Recession of 2008 look not so bad.
Yeah. At least back then we didn't have masks. Now we do. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is crazy, and we're going to talk Go ahead.
It's interesting. There's something interesting about the masks. When you look at a person and the mask, you can almost, your brain almost can fill in the parts that you're not seeing. So even with a mask on, you can look at a person and almost picture what they look like, even though half their face is covered up. I think the reason for that is that our eyes are the only visible part of our nervous system. So the eyes are the really important part that you're really looking down the windows of the soul to the eyes. And so it's the eyes that you see.
Absolutely.
Interesting, I thought. Yeah.
And it's important too. I think I have talked to people who have been like, oh, they're not smiling anymore. You know, you can tell by the eyes, you know, so
yes,
smile.
You can. Yes,
if you are
you
out
can.
There, definitely smile, because it's going to, your eyes are going to say that. Fascinating information on smiles. Look up the Duchenne smile. We're not going to cover that today, but it'll tell you a lot about what happens when you do a genuine smile and the chemistry in your brain. Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
it does. When I do my radio program, I'm smiling. I make sure that
absolutely.
I smile all the time. Yeah.
Absolutely. It comes through. It definitely comes through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Stephen, your business is called Intelligent Heart. I want everybody to make note of that, and I'm going to give the information on how to connect with him as we're wrapping up the show. But we're going to talk a little bit about the topic of flourishing in these unprecedented times. Wow, how crazy it is, and what a perfect time to really, really think about our brain and our mindset and what we're thinking and what we're saying in our head. So tell me, now we've talked about this before in the past, just in our casual conversations, but what are some of the most exciting discoveries in cognitive psychology that have been made over the last 60 years, and I would say even within the last couple of decades, that we can apply and use right now to help us get through this?
I think the most exciting discovery is that our brain believes what we tell it without question, no arguments. Okay. And the best book I've ever read on that is titled Phantoms in the Brain by Dr. V.S. Ramachandran out of UC San Diego. Phantoms refer to phantom limbs that have been amputated. And a patient may go into a doctor's office, he'll say, you got to help me, I can't do a thing with my arm. And the doctor may say, well, that could because I cut off that arm 6 months ago. And the patient will say, well, you didn't tell my brain that.
Uh-huh.
My brain still thinks it's there. My brain wants to pick things up with it. He tells an amazing story in chapter 8 of a merry night. And this is a true story. She walked into the doctor of the office of the OBGYN back in Manhattan, back in the early 30s. This is the Great Depression, but we have the medical records, so we know this actually happened. And she was very pregnant, very excited. This is her first baby. And she said to Dr. Martin, you know what, can you give me an exam? Because my husband has been out of work, Great Depression, and I have not been able to get anyone to see me. And I think I'm going to deliver very soon. And Dr. Martin said, gosh, I think you are too. So gave her an exam, and everything was completely normal except for a couple of little hiccups. Her belly button was still an innie, not an outie, and he couldn't find a fetal heartbeat. And in fact, she wasn't pregnant at all. Apparently, as he talked to her, he discovered that her family all had children, brothers and sisters, friends. They had been trying to get pregnant for years. Finally, when she missed three periods, she declared to her husband, I'm pregnant. And the hormones kicked in. And she got the big belly and the big breasts and the sway back position and the abdominal fat, the whole thing. So what does Dr. Martin say to her? What does he say? You're crazy? Well, he didn't want to say to her, and I don't agree with what they did, but he lied. He said, you're right, you're going to deliver today. You don't have time to get to a hospital. I'll deliver you here. So we got her nice and comfortable with warm blankets and pillows and got her, his RNs working with her. And in fact, he got her so comfortable, she fell asleep for a while. And when she woke up, he was right there with her. He said, I'm so sorry, but we lost the baby. And of course, she was broken up about it. But the medical records indicate that as soon as he said that, her tummy began going down physically right in front of him.
Wow.
And she bounced into his office a week later, just as big as before. And she declared, doctor, you forgot to deliver my twin.
Oh,
so
no.
The brain believes everything. Yeah, the brain believes everything. Now, how can we apply that? Well, be careful, as you said, with what you say to yourself. When you say, oh, my gosh, I'm so stupid for doing that. Do you know what the brain says? The brain says, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. You really are.
I'm stupid.
And the scary part about that is you keep saying that, the brain rewires itself. This is called neuroplasticity. And what you say to yourself over time can become who you are, how you think, your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the scary part, but there's a wonderful part to this. The wonderful part is when you make a mistake and you say, oh my gosh, that was a really dumb thing to do, but that does not mean I'm dumb. And I'll do it differently the next time. Your brain says, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. And then what happens is your brain becomes obsessed with finding a better way to do it next time.
Yeah.
So your brain can become your best friend.
Exactly. It starts working on the problem solving right away.
Exactly. That's right. It doesn't wait for weeks and weeks. It starts working right away. So that's number one. Your brain believes what you tell it. Number two, let's talk a little bit about your self-images. Notice I didn't say self-image. I said self-images. I'm a first-year baby boomer, born in 47. So I was taught that I have a self-image that I have to maintain and flourish. Well, that was only partially correct. We've discovered that you don't have one self-image. You've got a self-image for every single thing that you do, every ability, every habit, every aptitude. So your self-images run into, I've never seen a study of how many self-images we have, but I think there are thousands. Everything that you do, you've got a self-image for. So, for instance, the story that I like to tell is that I have a self-image for every meal that I cook. So I cook really good scrambled eggs because I use a lot of butter. I cook horrible poached eggs. Why am I sharing this? Well, as you can probably sense, I have a very high self-image of myself for my scrambled eggs and a really low one for my poached.
What's
the point, Steve? Well, yeah, the point is that if I have two self-images for just two meals that I can cook, you can imagine how many self-images I must have. Now, here's some exciting discoveries about your self-images. Number one, they're learned. You weren't born with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of us were born with certain natural dispositions. I was born a natural teacher. I've always been a teacher. When I was a kid, I used to put rocks in my backyard and pretended I was teaching them. I was a weird kid. But
no,
our self-image...
no, you are not. That's creative.
my sisters would look at me a little bit weird. What are you doing? I'm teaching. What's interesting about our self-images is that they are learned. You were not born with them. Now, here's what's even more exciting. This gets exciting more and more and more. Our self-images are learned by our self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
Our self-images come not from how we were raised or not the events in our lives. They come from what we are saying to ourselves about ourselves. They're coming from our self-talk. They're coming from what we say to ourselves. Why is that so exciting? Because you can replace what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Notice I didn't use the word change. I used the word replace. Here's the reason.
Yes.
The brain hates change. The brain doesn't want you to change. The brain's job is to keep you safe. And change oftentimes involves risk. It oftentimes involves something new. It oftentimes involves something that might not work. And so the brain says, no, let's not change. Let's keep you right where you are. Let's keep you in your comfort zone. And in fact, psychologists call all those thousands of self-images your comfort zone. So your brain's job is to keep you in your comfort zone. Okay. So number one, principles behind that. Number one, they're learned, which means number one, you can't get rid of them unless you're willing to have a lobotomy.
Right.
They're wired
they're
in your brain. They're right there. They're wired in your brain, and you can't get rid of them. Number two, they're really, 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 really hard to change. It's like having to go in there and somehow disentangle a self-image from all the rest of your trillions of self-images. It just really can't be done. So if you can't get rid of them and you can't change them, what can you do? Ready? Number three. You can replace them.
Mm-hmm. Reframe it.
How can you replace? Bingo. Reframe it.
Yeah.
How can you replace them? By reframing, by telling yourself something different, by replacing what you're saying to yourself about yourself. So let me give you, can I share with you a story?
Absolutely.
Stories are the best way to teach this. When my father died, he was very young, and as Mary and I were driving away from the memorial service, she looked at me and she said, "If you die early, I'll kill you. I don't want to be a widow for 40 years like your mom's going to be," which she was. So I was about 30 pounds more than I weigh now. So I said, okay, I need to lose this weight. So I got up next morning and ran and swam and did all things. I lost maybe 2 or 3 pounds in a week. I gained it all back on the weekend. And I did that for 25 years. Why did I gain it back? Because of what I said to myself about myself. I would give myself pep talks. And I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, you are a 240-pound man who's got to lose 40 pounds. Well, when I said, you are a 240-pound man, what did my brain say?
I am, yep.
I am, that's right. Yep. But then it said this, I didn't hear about this part. It said, my job is to keep you at 240 pounds because that's how you see yourself. That's your self-image. Mm-hmm. And I'll make sure you do, and it did for 25 years. And finally, after said, well, this is not good. This doesn't work. So I began studying all this stuff. I realized I was giving myself the wrong message. And that's where we get into affirmations. I gave myself an affirmation. Affirmation is nothing new age or weird. It's simply a statement that when you say it correctly, triggers a picture in your mind of a goal as if it has already been accomplished. So I wrote an affirmation, something like, I'm 200 pounds. I look fantastic. Wow. Well, when I first said that, my brain freaked out. I said, wait a minute, Steve. Wait. Look at the mirror. Look at the scale. You're not 200 pounds. You're 240 pounds. 200 pounds. You're 240. And my job is to keep you there. And I said, no, I'm 200. And every single time I sit down for a meal, I'm going to visualize a 200-pound man eating this meal and looking great. And after a while, it took a few days, but after a while, my brain said, oh, you're really serious about this. Okay, well, we've got a gap now. We've got a gap of about 40 pounds. We've got to close the gap. Now we get into what is called Gestalt psychology. Gestalt psychology is simply that the brain hates gaps. So I'm saying I'm 200, I'm 240, and my brain said, no, we got to close this gap. Now, the first thing the brain wants me to do is to give up. The easiest way is just accept yourself at 240. Well, I have been doing that for 25 pounds, for 25 years. So I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm locking on to 200 pounds. And that's when I began eating like a 200-pound person. And it took about a year, but the weight came off. But here's the point I want to share with your listeners. In my mind, there is still a self-image of a 240-pound man.
Sure.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've never had a lobotomy.
Right.
But I haven't,
we hope not.
I hope not. But I haven't seen it for years. Why? Because I've locked on to the guy that's 200 pounds. And my brain rewired itself. So I see myself at 200 pounds. I could go back in a second if I wanted to. But I choose not to.
Right.
So that's the wonderful thing about self-images. I think the third most exciting, and this is the most exciting more than anything else, is this. Because this really applies to what the world is going through today. Our feelings come from our beliefs. What do you mean, Steve? I mean this. Our feelings are not coming from COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming from distancing. They're not coming from isolation. They're coming from what we say about COVID-19.
Yeah.
And what we're saying about distancing. And what we're saying about isolation. Now, why is that so exciting? Because we can replace what we're saying.
Yep.
We can change it. And when we do, our brain says, oh, okay. And then it looks for ways that what we are saying lines up with what we're feeling. So here's the most exciting part. Our feelings don't come from what's happening to us. They come from what we are saying about what's happening to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we can replace what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. And it really does become what you focus on. I use the illustration a lot of times, you know, when you when you buy a new car and you're like, oh, nobody has this same car, I'm going to buy this one. It's this certain color and, you know, this certain model, and you've never seen it. You almost never see this car. And then you drive it home, and all of a sudden on the way home, your car's not so unique anymore. You start to see this car all over the place. And that's the way your thought process goes.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's what you're focusing on. Yep, if you're focusing on the positive, then your brain starts to see, oh, that's a positive takeaway, that's a positive takeaway. It's fascinating what that connection between the mind and the brain.
Yeah, it really is. So how can we apply this? If we don't use it, we're going to lose it. So let me share with your listeners a couple of ways we can apply this to what we're going through today. One is when things are really doing well, things are good, and one when we screw up, when we mess up. So let's talk about the first one first. When we do something really well, people often say to us, oh, that was really good, I'm so proud of you, that was fantastic. And our response basically is more like, well, not really, that's embarrassing, that's egotistical, thank you very much, but I could have done better, I was part of a team, thank you very much, not really, not really, not really. Well, the problem with that is that what? Our brain believes that.
Sure.
So the compliments that people pay us just fall to the floor. So there's a study that came out back in 1975 from Stanford University called the Effort Effect. What they discovered is that most of us, and this is a human trait, this isn't just some people, it's most of us pass over our successes too quickly, too lightly for them to ever become a part of our self-image. We pass them over.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do something really well and someone compliments us, we say, no, not really, not really, not really. And those compliments just go away. So here's an application for your listeners. From now on, when someone says, good job, you look at them and you smile and say, you know what? That makes me feel really nice. Thanks for telling me that. And then you wallow in your success like a pig in slop.
Love it. Love it.
Wallow in it. And I have a question for
your
listeners. Why? I'm sorry.
I just said own it. Yeah.
Own it. Yes. Why do we have to wait? Why do we have to wait for someone else to tell us how amazing we are? Did you know that the part in your brain that records what you are saying to yourself is also recording what other people are saying to you? Let me say that again.
Good point.
The part in your brain that's recording what others are saying to you is the same part physiologically that's recording what you are saying to yourself. Wow.
Yeah.
And then finally, what do you do when you mess up? Because we've been messing up a lot. Well, unfortunately, oftentimes when we mess up, we say, oh my gosh, how could I have been so stupid? The problem with that is when you ask that question, your brain says, oh, I know. Remember that dumb thing you did yesterday? Or that dumb thing you did a week ago, a month ago, a year ago? Remember how you were the slowest reader in the third grade? And you know what we do? We get out this list, and we start going down the list of all the dumb things we've ever done. Now, this is really important to understand. When you do that, your brain does not know that those memories of those mistakes happened a week ago, a month ago, a year ago.
Right.
The brain's recording them again, along with the feelings that you had 10 years ago.
Exactly.
But this time is if they happen when? Right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're carrying that stuff around. Here's the message I want to share with your listeners. You don't have to do that anymore. And when I'm in front of the audience, I get kind of teary-eyed because it's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do instead, Steve? What do you do instead? Number one, you throw away the list, okay? Throw away the list. Number two, use three wonderful words. The words are, the next time. And
oh,
when
I
you
like
say
that.
The next time, you say, when you say the next time, you're saying three things. Number one, you're saying there is a next time. How many next times do we get? As many as we want. Number two, when you say the next time, you're saying, I'll never give up, ever. And here's the best for last. Number three, when you say the next time, you're saying, I'm still learning, I'm still growing, I'm still changing. which means I'm still making mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
wonderful.
Just because I failed doesn't mean I'm a failure.
Ooh, I love
one
that.
One last story, and then I'll close that. Thomas Edison was asked how it felt to fail 999 times looking for the film of a light bulb. He said it had not failed 999 times. I simply found 999 ways it didn't work.
Exactly.
And that's exciting. Yeah.
Love that. I love that. Oh, Stephen, we could do that. We're just going to have you back another time.
I would love to.
I love the messaging. I know it's 9:25. I got to let you go because you've got a show at 9:30.
Yeah, my own show. Yeah.
Your own show. Tell us real quick. Tell the listeners, in case they're going to jump from me to you or in case they're listening to this podcast later, where they can find your show.
My show is usually from 9 to 11, and it's on KOWS LP 92.5 FM, and it's available on the internet. So my show is basically on my book, and I have music, what I call music for the mind, very, very mellow music, and I talk about what I just got through talking about here. So right after this, I'll be starting my show.
Beautiful, so, beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, 92.5 FM.
Online. I love it. Well, Stephen, thank you so, so very much for being on the show again. We'll have to do this again. I'm going to let you go. And
okay.
For my listeners, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Oh, you too. Bye-bye. So here we are. If you want to connect with Stephen, I encourage you to go to the show page for the program today. We have links directly to how you can get in contact with him, how you can send him a message. We have the link to his site, which is StephenRCampbell.com. So you can go there. You can read about, that's where you can get his book. You can get his book on on Amazon as well. The book title again is, let me make sure I get this right, Making Your Mind Magnificent. Lots of great information in there. You can also follow him on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. All those links are on the show page for today's show as well. So you can utilize, this is a great thing about the power of the mind-brain connection, is that you can utilize all of these techniques no matter what situation you are facing. It doesn't have to be a pandemic. It can be just something personally in your life. Stephen used it for weight loss, right? You can use it for dealing with unhealthy habits, whatever that may happen to be, unhealthy relationships, whatever that may happen to look like for you. You can help other people to see the same thing by always having that positive bent. As I said, one of those things, when we talk about reframing, I tell people to flip those things on their head. So I was told for a lot of the years growing up that I had a big mouth and I talked too much. Well, now I own that as an auditory extroverted female, right? That's the way my brain is coded. That's part of my DNA gifts. And now I use that as a gift, right? So it's no longer a negative. I am now reframing that. I am now flipping that into a positive, and I'm using that DNA code that I have to share with you, my listeners, and the people that I talk to, whether it's in corporate, entrepreneurs, parents, whatever it is. See, now I'm using that to help people understand what they can do with their brain and how the brain, the chemistry in the brain, responds to that thought process in the mind. So see, it can be very powerful, right? I love so much of what Stephen shared, lots of information on memories and the how that recodes your brain when you remember them. You can use it for, it can hurt you like Stephen talked about today, or it can help you. And I've got all kinds of techniques to do that. If you want to stay in touch with me, I really want you to connect with me on Facebook, Purple Brain Lady, or Your Best Mind Online. Those are the two business pages. Twitter, I am at Brain Lady. LinkedIn and Instagram, Brain Lady Julie. YouTube, we're ramping up the YouTube channels, doing lots more videos. We're helping a lot. We're putting a lot of teaching at home tips on the the channels right now just to help a lot of people who have had to make these adjustments and are now teaching their kids at home. I would love to talk to any of you who would like to share information, stories, or simply have questions about all this great neuroscience. So keep in contact with me. If you like the show, give me a thumbs up, share, follow the show. Give me a positive review on iTunes. And hey, until next week, enjoy every moment.
Considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in to The Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson next week and every week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you next time, everybody.